Welcome to Health Tech Matters, a podcast where we explore the ways how great healthcare products are built. I'm your host, Mary, and each week I talk to startup founders, product managers, and designers working in healthcare startups. Today we're going to talk about types of motivation and encouraging physical activity using gamification and tangible rewards. Welcome our guest, Christine Tsai, product owner at Sweetcoin, the fastest growing fitness app ever. Stay tuned. Can you please tell me more about your background and how you got into Sweatcoin?
I guess I started forming the DNA roots of my digital native identity when I first joined the digital transformation team of HSBC, a huge bank in Hong Kong. So I learned there that I really did the digital space, but I actually preferred a more fast-paced environment. So I moved away from these big corporates into digital consulting. I remember one thing clearly whilst I was doing and wearing all these hats was doing all the competitive analysis, especially as a business analyst or even as a researcher. I seem to always just find myself referring to product companies, Babylon, Revolut, Airbnb, etc. These product companies that were overseas and telling my clients, this is what a good digital product is. This is where you should be. And then it's just one day I realized that maybe I was just in the wrong continent. I was just tired of telling people these are the good examples and not actually being in the good examples. So I actually packed my stuff and moved to London from Hong Kong. And yeah, when I came to London, I was really blessed to be able to join Revolut as my first job on this side of the world. And it was great. I thought I would be able to settle there for a while until, again, I had this moment where I realized that I did love building high volume consumer focused products, but I wanted to work on a product that's beyond financial services. I started to look for product companies that are beyond just in the financial sector. And Sweatcoin came up. I thought it was quite interesting because it wasn't completely away from fintech. There's still a certain element of it in the DNA, but it was definitely a different spin, more focused on the digital health side of things.
Yes, it's interesting because there is a huge cultural gap between Asian and UK, which is traditional, conservative, I'd say. And Asia sounds something more modern. I've been to Hong Kong, and it is indeed quite modern, and the culture in itself is very different. So how did you feel about this cultural shock?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Culturally, I don't think I was that shocked because I did my bachelor's and my master's and I studied here before I went back to Hong Kong to work. So I really liked London as a city. But in terms of work, actually, I would say the work culture is the opposite of what you've observed probably as a tourist when you went there. I would say in Asia, they're definitely more conservative. They have a lot more legacy built into the roots, and it's much harder to convince them to change or to adopt like a new way of working. But in terms of being a tourist, they're definitely more open, modern, full of things to do. It's very different.
Could you just have a quick intro into Sweatcoin? Everybody understands how it works.
We turn your daily steps into sweat coins, and it's a unique digital reward where you can spend to support either a good cause or buy products and services with. And we have over 500 brands from around the world, which are situated in a marketplace. So we try to make sure that we are able to satisfy and reward as many users as we can. We have more than 40 million registered users in 42 countries and about 3.5 million monthly active users. Our mission is to help to empower the human race to take more steps.
And also, you mentioned that this application is one of the most rapidly growing applications in the sector. So how do you feel about it?
I think currently, from a business strategy perspective, we've held off in terms of pushing the accelerator on rapidly 10xing our growth because we just think right now people are not going out as much because of legal reasons, can't actually physically go out as much due to COVID. So we haven't been pushing the accelerator on that. But that having said, our core users, our loyal and long-term users, they are actually more active than ever. And in fact, we've actually been 3xing our revenue recently. So that's helped us to be able to continue to actually feature even more and better offers in our marketplace, which could potentially then attract even more users or different types of user segments. So whether it's difficult or not, it is for sure, whenever we want to grow. And it's something that we definitely want to do.
I've actually tried using the application and it looks very nice. I mean, the design is amazing and the offers are quite interesting. And some of them are shocking. So you can win huge deals, trip to Disneyland, for example. So how do you understand which offers will be the most beneficial to the users and in which they will be engaging the most?
So that's actually a great question and actually a very difficult challenge that we may have nailed a little bit, but we're still trying to nail as well, because one would assume immediately that the brands that work with us the most or the users are most interested in when they use our app would be health and fitness offers only. And in fact, that's actually what Sweatcoin did initially. Before I joined, I was told that there was a propensity to saturate the marketplace with just health and fitness apps or related products as offering. But shortly after that, we didn't see great performance in this compared to other product categories, and we tested it. So yeah, that's why we ventured out, and now we're targeting majority of sectors, consumer facing products. And I think the reason for this is because people in our user base right now, they're not crazy athletes. They're not training for triathlons. They're not these people who are bulking up and really, really super crazy sporty people. They are more of your regular users. We actually now currently see high performances in other sectors, cosmetic brands, accessories, even financial apps, consumer electronics, pet care as well. So it's a lot of different categories. But what we found as a commonality is that it should be things that can resonate with them on a day-to-day basis. So in one of our research, we found that users often see value in things that they already need. So yeah, cosmetic as an example, or accessory as an example, rather than trying to push them to adopt a new product that they probably wouldn't use or they probably wouldn't be interested in if they didn't download the Sweatcoin app.
And one of the first challenges you mentioned was one to increase awareness of the importance of the steps taken. Yeah. So how did you solve it? How are you solving it right now?
Recently, for example, we did a redesign project, which I headed, and it was really just to take a step back and see when the users open their app, what should be the first and foremost thing that they see right in the center and they should always be reminded of. And also just understand what they associate their steps with when using our app. So what we found is actually steps is important, but equally so, their Sweatcoin balance was also very important. So that's why in our redesign project, we also tried to make sure that we brought the balance out clearly. It used to be hidden in a tab. So now we show it clearly at the top. It's sticky at the top. And in any tab you go to, it will stay there as a reference point for you. And also, obviously, steps is the hugest number, the biggest number you see visually as well. What we do as well is we try to introduce other features that has more of an educational side to it. For example, we have a feature called the Daily Boost. And the idea behind this is that we know from science research that 20 minutes of elevated heart rate is actually really good for you. We created this boost where for 20 minutes of your day, if you walk more than you usually do, then you'd be rewarded some extra sweat points. And throughout the onboarding of this feature, and when you're using this feature, we tell you why 20 minutes, why you need to reach this goal, and like afterwards, the feeling that you actually did do something better for your lifestyle at the very end as well is really important. Jed, this is an example of how we try to slowly but subtly incorporate some educational side of things into it. But I think actually recently, definitely COVID has helped. COVID's not a good thing, but it definitely has allowed people to pay more attention to their health. And especially health and fitness sector now is thriving because precisely people are thinking about health a lot more. So it's actually much easier now to get their attention with health matters than before.
So awesome question. Why 20 minutes?
So 20 minutes is because, so we look at how many steps you usually need to take to make sure that your heartbeat is at a elevated amount so that you don't necessarily have to physically sweat, but that's usually the average time, the breaking point in which people need to have considered it a workout. And we're taking average steps and monitoring average heart rates. And we figured out that 20 minutes on average just works for most people.
And what features, apart from those you've mentioned, you're using in the application to keep people engaged? So to keep them using the application, because obviously when they are just uploading it, it's interesting, it's new, and they are maybe using it for a few weeks, maybe a month. But after that, gradually the interest decreases.
We certainly have a certain element of gamification embedded in the app. We understand that actually users care the most and they want to celebrate the moment where they finish the workout or they paid that extra hard work into getting those sweat coins. So really being able to gamify that part and making them feel they have actually achieved, unlocked something, is definitely a mechanic that has really worked. So we use a lot of visual cues to do that. When you earn coins, we make sure that you see a lot of animations. We are considering to use haptics as well. We want to make the experience feel you're immersed in a game, and you walking these steps is unlocking things. You're unlocking yourself to more steps, to a better life, but you're also unlocking products. We also are currently investing into multiplayer mode. We know that it's sometimes very motivating to work out with someone else. And often you need another person to motivate you to move. So we've brought back the leaderboard. We've also tried to introduce more engaging, repeated engagement functionalities, auctions as well. So this requires the users to not only be constantly monitoring their earned balance, but also to always be involved in that auction, to check in and see if they are the highest bid, if they want to bid higher.
Could you please tell me more about auction and how it works?
So auctions is something that we introduced because we felt that the marathon offers that we previously had was a bit too hard to reach. And it often takes users 5 years or plus to actually reach those goals that we set as a price for those huge products. So we wanted to reduce this barrier. We wanted to make it easier for, you know, people with potentially less than 20,000 sweat coins to get a big prize. And so then therefore we decided to leverage this already working mechanic, which we know works with other apps, which is this auctions mechanic, where we put an offer up and then people can just start bidding. There's obviously an end time. And then by the time that the timer ends, the person with the highest bid will be able to walk home with that prize. And if you didn't win, then you don't lose the sweat coins that you were bidding in.
You have a feature in the application, I've noticed, which is some crowdfunding for good deeds. This one is super motivating because, for example, I'm not that much interested in buying some stuff, but I would definitely love to use my steps for something that will help another person. So how did this feature help you engage users if you have any data? Or maybe you just get some positive feedback.
Let me share a little bit more about this. So just you as well, I personally use my sweat coins for donations more than I do. And I think that's precisely it. We offer this as another way of spending your sweat coin, because we think that the value of getting a material good doesn't resonate with every single type of user. So we definitely saw that there's a segment of users, just you and I, who are more motivated by doing something that could impact or be of a positive impact for the world or for the wider good. So yeah, we, on average, we actually get for this feature 50,000 donators per week. And yeah, that's roughly about 200,000 per month. And actually 4% of the people of a marketplace are also repeated monthly donators. We're doing investigations into this project we call right now Green Impact, which is effectively planting trees for your steps. Because walking, if we think about it, it also does have an indirect correlation with making the environment a greener place, especially for shorter trips. If people walk rather than take transport, we definitely can make a change in that respect. In terms of feedback, the qualitative feedback we get from users, they're generally great when we speak to users. We have actually a community called our top 500 donators, and we have a group for them on Facebook where they can ask us any questions, where they can talk to each other if they want to as well. And we usually actually see spikes during Thanksgiving or Christmas. I guess it's a time for giving, or it's a time when you think mm-hmm. beyond just what you can get for yourself.
And what are the most popular features in the app?
The biggest use case of people using our app is to check out our marketplace and to get something. So this is usually offers. But we also obviously have some users who are really interested to understand their behavioral change, how well they have improved in terms of their steps. So we have this insights part of our app as well, and we show your quantitative self in there with graphs of how you did today, this month, this year. And often we also let whether you're doing better or worse, give using data of what we learn from you at this time of the day. So that, for example, at 12 p.m. when you look at it, you will be like that you're doing less steps than you usually do. Maybe you should go out and have a walk and take a break from your laptop. So that also is popular, but that's more popular for our users who are actually really, really passionate already and know the benefits of health. So
yeah,
I think this is because there's two types of users. So you have users who are more motivated by extrinsic rewards, which actually I'm probably guilty of. Just I need an extrinsic, external thing that's going to be used to motivate me. But there are also some people who are just purely intrinsically motivated. They want to do that either because they've set themselves a goal. We recently launched a feature called New Year's Resolution. So is setting a goal for yourself and then making sure that you keep it every month. Our focus area of acquiring users is more on users who just started out on their active lifestyle, at users who probably, for us, it's much more meaningful to help someone go from 1,000 steps a day to 5,000 steps a day mm-hmm. than helping someone that's already doing 10,000 steps do even more steps. We really want to help the people who are less active usually already, and using extrinsic motivators as a way to hang a carrot in front of them to do that job.
I guess you need to have one offer, adopt a dog, and you will make 10K every single day.
Yeah, we actually did some research around this, and the key themes of crowdfunding that usually do really well in terms of campaigns, we know, are animals, especially the wildlife, and also for the environment. Children as well, I think, comes up quite well. But yeah, no, I definitely agree. I have a little puppy myself, and aww. I'm sure if like I saw a campaign about a dog, it will help me to take a little bit more steps.
I have also received a summary of my steps for yesterday.
So that's actually really interesting you mentioned, and it makes sense because you're an active person, and I assume you also track other parts of your health as well, and you're probably on a lot of other fitness apps. So what we found is that data doesn't work for everyone. It works for a certain group of people, but for a lot of people, putting just a graph, because we tried that actually, we tried putting the graph of your steps and quantitative representation of your progress at the top of the screen, right in the center of your face. And what we found is it's just not for everyone. Some people actually get put off by it. Data is like useful for a lot, but sometimes it could also be very overwhelming.
And what do you think is the future of these products that help people to be more physically active? So there are more and more applications, but what will be different in, let's say, a year or maybe 2 years? What trends do you see?
Definitely see the trend of working out at home continuing to persist post-COVID and probably be a dominant force and trend in the health and fitness sector. I think it's now much easier than ever to integrate your physical activity into your lifestyle. And it's much harder now for people to have an excuse to not move or stay physically active. So I think old behaviors, going to the gym, were hard for people to stay or to continue with their gym membership because the barriers are high. You need to pack your stuff, you need to get changed, you need to drive to the gym. There's just too many steps to it. The barrier is much lower now. I think it's definitely now easier for people to find the motivation to squeeze in that extra 20 minutes of exercise per day, and for this to be a habit that stays in their lifestyle.
Actually, you made me think when you said about data not working for some types of users, mm-hmm. segments of users. Do you have them in your mind, or just overall people who are more emotional, people who tend to believe stats?
So you're completely right. We have users who are more driven by seeing quantified self, seeing that they've made progress. Again, going back to this idea of using intrinsic motivations to push themselves to work harder. But usually we see these type of users as users who are already pretty active before they even join the app. Then we also have a group of users who probably just downloaded the app because they saw it featured or they heard about it. They download the app and then they are more captivated by the offers in the marketplace. And this idea that just by doing something really easy, steps can get me something for free. They are likely to be less active, especially when they first joined. There's also a third group, which are some users and probably a much smaller audience, but a group of users who are just interested in supporting startups or these cool products, and they're just interested in new products in general, and they're trying to see and understand how the app works, and then they probably downloaded it then realized that it's either pretty cool or not of their liking. We definitely also have another smaller group as well, where they download the app thinking it's a cryptocurrency or a Bitcoin of some sort, and then quickly realizing that it's not exactly a financial asset just yet. These users are most likely to churn. We are trying to expand to other mindsets or segments. For example, we're thinking that who else would care about your steps? Who else can we invite to the app? And actually, your close ones really care about your health. So we're trying to tap into family and friends as well. So this is one of the reasons why we're beefing up our social center and our groups element, because what we want to have eventually is also a group of people who are using the product because they enjoy the sense of community. They actually get emotional support from the people that they love, mm-hmm. or people that mean something to them from using our platform.
So it might be in the future that you won't have these offers, and it will be mostly based on this intrinsic motivation.
No. I think this idea of rewarding you for your steps with external motivators is something at the heart of the product, and it's definitely there to stay. But it's just, we feel we've squeezed this lemon quite dry now. We can continue to offer better products that's suited to the users. We can continue to expand the brands we work with. But in terms of innovation, we've already tried and experimented with many. So what we want to start looking into more is more of the emotional side of things, trying to see how we can also provide emotional value to users for using the app, and not just seeing the app as a way for them to get the external reward.
And also an important question I didn't ask you is, how do you keep your partners interested in the collaboration?
Yeah, so for now, the partners you're referring to would be the brand partners who feature in a marketplace. So for them, it's purely about performance and user engagement. So what they want is a platform to be able to market or put their products on so that they can get some traffic diverted back into their own channels or funnels. And we are that platform. So when we approach them, we use any successful use cases or partnerships that we have, and we let them know, for example, we were able to bring this amount of traffic into their website. We predict we can bring this for you. We have a highly engaged user base, which is actually something that partners really need, because they get to choose where they're going to invest their user acquisition strategies on. And so having a really engaged user base is important, because if you invest into that channel and actually that channel doesn't have much activity, then you're wasting your efforts. So that's usually the stuff that the partners care about, less tangible stuff, I guess. Yeah, it's purely right now a lot to do with how to help them to promote and sell their business, and to also bring new users to their channels through Setcoin, and less so about steps. So obviously, we also tell them that the users get their steps from walking, and it's actually good for their health, etc. But as of now, we haven't identified brands that are purely just going to be happy with that. What they want realistically at the end of the day is traffic.
And I also have a few fast-fire questions for you. And the first question is, if you could write anything on a billboard, what would that be? You are just driving on the road and you can see the billboard, and let's say it's entrance of the city.
Okay, no, that's easy. It will be never settled. Because for me, that is my career path is a great example of that. So whenever I feel I'm starting to feel unhappy, or just something just doesn't feel right, getting out of bed is starting to be very difficult to go to work, I will start thinking to myself and analyzing actually what could be the reasons for that. And as soon as I identify what could be the problem, then I would be, okay, in the next place that I go, I need to make sure that I am not going to repeat the same thing. So I'm not a fan of just sitting there and hoping that a miracle will happen or things will get better. I just react to it, and I just never settle for unhappiness or just anything bad, I guess. I'm more of a doer, I would say. Once I feel something's not going right, I have to do something about it.
And what new habit has improved your life, let's say, last 3-5 years?
For me, I started to adopt yoga as part of like my daily routine. Even though I have a really busy calendar, I make sure to squeeze in at least 30 minutes, or sometimes if I'm lucky, an hour every day, just so that I have that time for myself. And a lot of times people think, oh, people do yoga because it looks nice, or it's all about the shape that you can make or the clothes that you can wear. But to me, it's not about that. It's more about consciously making sure that you're still looking after yourself. And to me, yoga was just something fun, and I don't feel it's very difficult to motivate myself to get on the mat. So it's just something that I've been able to adopt. And whenever I get on the mat every day, it's just a constant reminder for myself that I'm still taking care of myself. I've dedicated time to make sure that I am moving, I am doing something good for myself physically and mentally as well. And if sometimes, even if it's just 20 minutes of breathing exercises or whatever, it's still rewarding. To me, it's really important that you love yourself. It sounds really cliche, but you are genuinely the only person who can take the best care of yourself. So yeah, that's definitely a new behavior. I would also say step, although I'm not as good at it with yoga, I actually find it a lot harder, but that is why I really liked the feature where we have the 20 minutes. Because to me, I just put on my shoes, I put on the leash on my dog, and then I just hit the button and then I go out for a walk. And I'm trying to make it feel it's not a chore or a task. And it's getting easier, but I still can't say it's as easy as just taking out my yoga mat.
And what are three things you do to support your mental health at work? Or maybe not only at work. So yoga
Okay. Sleep is the first one. I definitely see a correlation between the number of hours I sleep and how I feel when I'm at work. So I try to really have a regular sleeping pattern. And I find that really, really, just really helpful. I used to sleep a lot less, especially when I was in consulting. I used to sleep only probably 4 hours on average. And I think I'm Superman and I can just stay alive with 4 hours. But now I try to at least make sure I get 7 hours. And I definitely see a difference, not just in how I feel, but also just how much clarity I have when I'm thinking, at work. So sleep's one thing. I mean, yoga, as I mentioned, something funny, maybe it's unique, is I also have a light therapy machine or device that I have next to my desk. So what I found is that I'm actually quite sensitive to the season. So when it rains, I actually physically feel more depressed or down. Depressed is the wrong word, but I feel more sad. I know some people enjoy the smell and the sound of rain, but I don't. I have the machine or device next to my desk, and I just turned it on for 20 minutes a day as well. I find that really helps as well. So yeah. And I guess finally, the last thing I can think of is I take on a day to day, I also take this thing that I self-named vitamin cocktails. Now, it's not alcoholic, but it's simply a mix of supplements that I prescribed to myself that I think helps with energy and also just feeling good. Mm-hmm. Because I think with mental health, a lot of it is, it comes from what you do as well in your routine. So yeah, I feel when I take my vitamin cocktail, which has vitamin C's and B's and D's and whatever, I feel I'm taking care of myself. And knowing that makes me just feel and mentally just feel better. I guess there's also definitely support from your loved ones as well. Oh, yeah, that's helped a lot. I think I've definitely been able to articulate my emotions a lot better now as compared to before. I talk things through now with people that I trust, my close friends or my partner or my family. So that definitely helps as well, for sure.
So what's your favorite stress reduction technique, or maybe when you feel overwhelmed, what do you do?
I actually would go for a walk. And I'm not just saying it because of Sweatcoin, but fresh air really helps. It's just taking even a 5 minute walk, just going down, take a walk, maybe take my dog with me and then come back up. That helps. If I can't actually just take a walk and leave the computer, I usually just sit here and I breathe. I do some breathing exercises, and also that really helps.
And what is the most useful piece of feedback you ever received at work?
Okay, I know. So this is actually back in my consulting days. And I remember my line manager at that time gave me this piece of advice. And at that time, at the moment, obviously, I didn't appreciate it as much. But years now, I definitely always still think back to what he said to me at that time. And what he said as a feedback to me in our review session, in our 360 review session, was that I'm often striving to do the task perfectly on every single thing, which means that I am either burning out because it's just not possible. You only have certain amount of hours a day. And if you strive for perfection, you'll just never have time to rest. And also the second thing about it is that you just never settle. You'll never think that it's enough. And so then mentally, obviously, that's also not good for you. Because when I first joined consulting, what he then realized was that, yes, I was delivering, you know, good work, but it was at the cost of me looking really unhappy and really tired. So that was the feedback he gave me. And as an advice, you should just split all your tasks into different buckets or different groups. So you should have one group of important tasks that you need to definitely make it perfect, because those are things that really, really need to be. But then there should be other groups where you could put only 60% of it and just get it done. Don't get it perfect, just get it done so that you can invest or do other things. Advice that I got in how to prioritize, because before that, I definitely wasn't prioritizing. Everything was high priority for me. And I just needed to do everything at high priority, at perfect scale. So that's sustainable. And now I definitely still catch myself reminding myself of that conversation. I'm very glad that I had that conversation.
And the last question would be, how do you start your day and how do you end your day? So are there any rituals you try to follow that help you?
Yeah, so I start my day, actually, not surprising, I start my day with yoga. So if you look at my calendar, every morning at 8 to 9 is block. And that's when I dedicate it for myself to do yoga. Sometimes if I have a meeting at that time, then I'll move that slot to lunchtime. But yeah, on average, I'd say usually that's how I start my day. And actually now with COVID, it's much easier because yoga is at home. So I just get out of bed, and I change into my yoga clothes and then I go on the mat. Then after that, I usually make sure to take my vitamin cocktail that I mentioned. And so then I'm feeling really refreshed before I even check any email. I don't check my email or I don't check my Discord messages before I've done those two things. So yeah, then I'll usually just go into work mode right after my last meeting and I finish what I needed to do. Then usually it'll be dark by then. So I'll take my dog out for a walk, probably turn on my Boost, take some fresh air and then come back. And then it'll just be the usual dinner, shower, and go to bed.
Yeah. One of the biggest discoveries of COVID times for me was to never check my email before 9 a.m. Because I'm most productive in the morning. Obviously, yeah. I want to do something that is really important. And work is not the most important thing in your life. So health is probably, eating is, your family is. So I do the things which are more important, let's say at 7 and 8, only at 9:01, I checked my email. But it was really a pleasure to talk to you. So many insights, and the product is really interesting, and there is so much behind it.